Okay. Here's another favorite one. Number five, cognitive flexibility. Cognitive flexibility. Now, my biblical word for this that I like better is renewed thinking. But the more I played with it, the more I kept going back to cognitive flexibility. So again, these tie together in such a great patchwork or lattice work. And what this means is the ability to shift perspective. So the ability to shift perspective, to adjust to new information, and move between different mental modes without getting stuck. I know some of these are hard to write down. The ability to shift perspectives, to adjust to new information, and move between different mental models. I ended it without getting stuck, but another way to end it is without getting off focus. So I think you will agree that the first plan that you lay out to accomplish your focus or your purpose is probably not going to be the final one that you implement. The first plan of something is always the first draft. Eisenhower had a famous quote that's been abused by some, where he said, "Planning is plans are every or excuse me, planning is everything, plans are worthless." Who was it that said, "No plan survives first engagement with an enemy"? Is that Patton? Okay. What's the quote about? Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face. Is that the great philosopher Mike Tyson? Yeah. So that's flexibility. That's cognitive flexibility. That's renewing of your thinking. The reason I like renewed thinking is because my life verse, as a lot of you know, is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. But just to number 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Was that R.C. Sproul who used to have the Renewing of Your Mind broadcast? Somebody had that. There used to be an old podcast or radio broadcast called Renewing Your Mind. But I think your mind has to constantly be renewed. So you got a plan. Your purpose doesn't change. Your mission doesn't change. Your vision doesn't change. But how you accomplish it must change. In military terms, they call it commander's intent. So the commander's intent is to take that hill. Our plan is we're going to go left. We're going to come around on the flank. We're going to attack them that way. But all of a sudden, that's not working. So the intent to take the hill doesn't change, but the specific steps that we're going to have to take to do it may have to change. And this re requires this flexibility, not flexibility on the focus, not flexibility on the vision, but flexibility on the tactics that are going to get us there. To say it another way, there's many ways to skin a cat. I don't know why you want to, but if you do, then you got to be willing to adjust. I'm not sure this works, but I'll proof text it anyway. 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Saving some hasn't changed. But his approach to getting it done has changed. If you try something once and you failed, it was probably bad implementation. If you try something twice and it fails, you might want to get some outside advice. If you try something a third time and it fails, I might try something different next time. Just be flexible. Think. But then I get this a lot. "But you said a month ago that we were going to do this, and now you're saying we're going to do that." And I'm like, "You're right. Here's why. Because this changed. Now, you told me a month ago I couldn't do this." "I know, but this past week somebody wrote a $30,000 check. And so now we're going to do it. I thought you said I had to delay that for another 6 months. And now you're telling me I can do it. These are the good versions of flexibility. You know, now you're saying I can do it. I'm saying, yeah, because somebody over here finished their thing early and I'm going to move these two people over here to help you. So let's go ahead and do it now. I mean, the $30,000 check, that actually was one recently that we had. We had to hold off on upgrading some road cases and upgrading some equipment and all of that. But that $30,000 check came in after the special offering was over, undesignated. Okay, I'm not going to spend all 30 on it, put a little bit in the bank, but we can spend that. So I thought you said we'd have to wait. Well, we really do need it. Let's go ahead and fix it. And by the way, the lights fell. But anyway, another story. But you know, then things that you said yes to, you have to say no to. Well, what happened? You know, why are we not going to be able to do this? Well, the architect called. Well, it snowed for the last 3 Sundays. Well, they didn't get the new security stuff up. Whatever it is, you know, the background check or something. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. And most people, and you have to create a culture. Like, I don't like flexibility as a word in general. I prefer fluidity. And so I'll explain on that. Like, I often tell my staff that we like to move fast, we like to move fluid, and we like to move focused. So focus rarely changes. You know, this is where we're going. But we have to, I want to move there as quick as we can. I'll get to that in just a moment. But where the fluid comes in is that, like, things can be flexible. You know, my pen that I'm holding up here, you know, it's got some flexibility in it. I mean, you may not be able to see it from where you're sitting, but if I bend it really hard, I could get some pretty good flexibility, but it is going to break. And so that's where I don't like flexibility. But if it's fluid, it rides the waves. You know, it's like a ship on the sea. Some days you can move really fast. Other days you've got the wind and you might slow down, but you can adjust your sails even to that to try to move. Sometimes it's rocky. Sometimes it's smooth. You know, you just ride those waves. Well, you're constantly having to gauge, where are we? How has the context changed? I'll give you an example from Disney. I was mentioning Disney movies. There was a movie they had planning to release last year when something happened on the international scene that I'm not going to tell the precise story. You might remember it, but the actual thing is irrelevant because it's kind of gruesome. But there was something that really made the news, and it just so happened this movie they were about to release had a scene in it that was going to be that very thing. And so they pulled the movie. Now, the problem was I actually was looking forward to the movie. Like, I already had it like in my IMDb database, like on my watch list. And I was, you know, I wanted to see it. And I thought, it's only like 1,000 people, you know, that were involved in that. Not that they died. Don't think about that. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, but, you know, somebody said right now in this climate, I know we spent a lot of money promoting it. I know there's that one guy out there who's liked us on the movie database and he's waiting to see it. But it just seems like we ought to delay that just a little bit. Nelson DeMille, 5 years before the planes hit the World Trade Tower, he was a loose friend of mine, the mystery writer Nelson DeMille. DeMille, we share a great name. Nelson DeMille lived on Long Island. 5 or more years before the planes went into the World Trade Center, he wrote a scene in a book of his where planes went in the World Trade Center. They pulled that book for quite a while. And then had to wait, you know, and then put it back into print. So anyway, you know, these are just reading the times, discerning what's going to say. I'm not saying that you want to be too quick to change. You know, I'm not saying that you allow the news to affect what you're going to preach on Sunday or anything like that. But I am just saying that you have to be flexible sometimes. You know, you have to pivot when it comes to your methods. You have to move faster or slower when it comes to things you're going to implement. You have to adjust the structures to the context. I don't understand what I've done to create such rigidity into my systems that when I say, you know, I was against phone calls in the 2010s, but I've become for phone calls in the 2020s. And I made the point yesterday in our coaching that back in 2010s, people would answer the phone when you call, and it would freak them out if you were a pastor. And they would start confessing their deepest sins. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have time for that. I was just calling to thank you for coming to the church. No, they'd be like, something was wrong. You know, who died or whatever. But today you're always going to get voicemails. So I don't mind it. You know, when I wrote the very first book on assimilation 20 years ago, we didn't have texting. When I did the update, you know, now just a handful of years ago, it was just beginning to make its way, you know, into the culture. But today, of course, I would text. Now, I don't know what the next thing's going to be. You know, what would it be? But, you know, the system of follow-up, the principle of follow-up, timely follow-up hasn't changed, but you have to be flexible on things. So you have to see decisions from multiple perspectives. You know, new believers, mature believers, staff. You have to be fluid. So here's an interesting thing. There's this balance that you always have to live with between where are we going, and that's sort of the visionary mode, and then how will we get there? And that's the integrator or the systems mode. And rarely does the where are we going change, but the how do we get there must be held fluidly. I'm not even sure that's a word. Also part of this cognitive flexibility or renewed thinking is how you explain things to different audiences. Now, this could be a different talk all into itself. But the conversation you have with your staff about something may not be the way that you would say it from the pulpit. It's not lying. It's not changing the perspective. It's just different. You know, we talk about Easter goals. I'll have a very specific Easter goal that our staff is praying for. But it might be unwise for me to communicate that in the same way to the congregation. Because maybe they don't understand the bigger number. Maybe I just need, like, I'll talk about each service being full. Or I'll talk about in general terms, like doubling on Easter. Or I'll talk about everybody bringing somebody with them. Whereas internally, we have a very specific kind of goal. You know, everything that is discussed in detail in a boardroom meeting does not have to be presented in the after-action report, you know, when you write it up. But then also cognitive flexibility, and I'll move on, you know, is also learning from your mistakes, taking into consideration that criticism that we were talking about earlier, to not have hardening of the attitudes. So when this is happening, when you, how do you develop this? Well, one thing that I find interesting is what's called entering into the gap. And so when you enter the gap, what I'm talking about is you gain another perspective. So you go back and you look at what you've been doing. Then you have some gap time where you try to say, what has changed since I wrote that? What has changed since we started that? What has shifted since we started that? And so you go into the gap. And that could be, you know, in your prayer time, that could be in your focus time, that could be in your, you know, conversation with the executive staff. But we say, right now, we're in the gap. You know, the gap between what we said we were going to do and now what we think we need to do. And then you try to integrate that as you come out of that gap. The other thing that I think is really important that is really not so much cognitive flexibility as maybe it's more on the renewed thinking, and that is a stop doing review. Like once a month, try to identify something that you just need to stop doing. Maybe it's a meeting. Maybe it's a practice. Maybe something that worked last year, but it's no longer working. I tell my staff, I will reward you more for giving me ideas of things we can kill versus things that we can birth. Now, I get more excited about the birthing, but I'm in desperate need of the stopping. So train your staff, train your brain to not only add new things when they need to be added, preserve that which needs to be preserved, but also to stop that which needs to be stopped. That's what I'm talking about with cognitive flexibility.